And the elder told me, a time will come when some people will ask you, when I leave this world of vanity in a few months, they will ask you, write about this dumb Iakovos. And now that you are residing in Cyprus, you have my blessing to write, and later on, when you become a bishop, to speak about me. This entire prophecy was fulfilled completely. However, he continued to tell me, they will not publicize this incident with Makarios. There are still old strifes in Cyprus, and they always existed in the ancient church, so you must learn to forgive. So they will not write about this, but that's not a problem. Later on, when you become a bishop and you will be called upon to speak, you must do obedience and you will bring up this incident with the Archbishop Makarios. Keep doing this so the heart of the Cypriots may become softer and spacious, to have a place for everyone. Now, as you can see, we are not saying these things from a political perspective or motivation. And please don't think like this, because we will totally miss the spirit of these holy people. We are saying these things with a spiritual dimension, and you can see what it means to forgive. And the simple man of God, Iakovos, instilled this in me. Forgiveness, my son, Sychoresi in Greek, means to open your heart, literally to make room in your heart for everyone to fit in. Especially the heart of the priests must be wide open and spacious, and to memorialize as many people as possible. This is the literal meaning of the Greek word synchoresis, to allow everyone in your heart, to make room in your heart for everyone, to allow many people to fit in, to look at ourselves as a sum and not as individuals. As the general Makarianis used to say, we must think as we, not I, we and us, and not just me. And Elder Iakovos lived this reality. So Elder Iakovos lived Christ. He lived the full meaning of forgiveness, and he worked with the pains and aches of the people of Greece, and he served all the students from Cyprus, and many times he prepared us for the future. He used to tell me, listen, my son, do not go to the holy mountain and do not come here as a monk. If you come here, you will only come to see me because you love me much. However, in a couple of years, in a few months, I will sleep in the Lord. I will die. And then you will become an orphan for a second time, and this is not a good idea for you. You must head back to Cyprus. There's a man there for you, the only one in Cyprus. He was referring to Father Simeon. You will go there, and then another one will come, and you will make an attempt to work spiritually in the middle of this certain city. And later, I did go to Larnaca, as he foretold. And then you will leave and go to a remote area, and you will work a spiritual resurrection, a resurrection from the dead in that region. There was a monastery there which has died, and you will resurrect it. And many people, many crowds will come to find rest. And you, the future monks, you will give rest and spiritual comfort to the world. And you know why? Because you, the future monks, will not be ascetics like us. You will talk much, but you will accomplish very little. Exactly how things are today, in other words. But he said, and this is what you must do. You will serve the needs of the people of God, and since you will not be great ascetics, you will be saved through the virtues of love and hospitality. And when I asked him, Yeronda, when the people come to the monastery, how should we act? The future monks of the 21st century, he told me, you must pay attention to three things. When people visit your monastery, you must offer them these three things: one smile, one glass of water, and one good word. What simple advice, and yet how necessary in our days. And this is not only for us monks, but for you, our brothers who are struggling in the world as well. I don't want to go on and on. I said many things here tonight, and I have tired you. There's so much to say, but we don't need to say everything. I simply wish to mention some points so you can sense the holiness of this man of God. As you see, the gospel is not just words, not just theory. The gospel needs to be applied, to be practiced with mathematical accuracy, if you will. And in a person of Elder Iacobus, the promises of Saint Paraskevi were totally realized. She told him that the powerful and the wealthy of the land will come to submit to you. When the last prime minister became ill, Andreas Papandreou, I happened to go to see the elder in the general state hospital of Athens, and I saw that the hospital was surrounded by police. I asked him, "Elder, what's going on? You have all kinds of Roman soldiers around here," I said jokingly, "and all these are certainly not for you." And he said, "No, they're not for me. They're for the Prime Minister Papandreou. He's a couple rooms down the hall, and he's also ill." "And do you know what I did, Father Neophyte?" "What did you do, Yeronda?" I want to ask your opinion to see if I did the right thing." As you can see, that the humble man has no problem asking someone small by spiritual standards his opinion. He says, "A high-class lady came, a lady of high society came here, and this classy lady was Dimitra Liani, and she pleaded with me, 'Please, elder, please pray for my husband.' 'And what is the name of your husband, my good lady?' 'His name is Andreas.' And not knowing who this Andreas was, I began to do prayers for some Andreas. And after a few days, the doctor Kremastinos came in, the one who later on became the Secretary of Health of Greece in the government of Papandreou. And the doctor asked the elder, 'Elder, are you well? Because Mrs. Dimitra here wants you to come and bless her husband, Mr. Andrea.' So I got up and they were helping me to walk, and we went to see this Mr. Andreas. Up to this point, the elder did not know that this was the number one man of Greece, Mr. Papandreou. So we got to the door, and the doctor says, 'Elder, do you know which Andrea you're about to visit?' 'Which one, my son?' 'Andreas Papandreou, the prime minister.' 'Please, my son, let me go back to my room. He's a person of importance. How can a scabby monk like me go in front of this famous and important man? He's a man of fame.'" At this point, Dimitra began to cry. "Yeronda, please don't talk like this." She said, "Yeronda, we will become forgotten. We'll be forgotten, but you will become an icon, and you will be in churches someday." That's what she said, bless her heart. "So please come and pray for my husband." So they enter the room, and there was Andreas Papandreou, and this was the first time when he was hospitalized with heart trouble. I asked everyone to leave the room, and then I felt a surge of power from above. He felt the grace of the Holy Spirit fill him. When Papandreou saw me, he grabbed my hand and began to kiss it desperately and repeatedly, and he cried out, "Yeronda, Yeronda, save me. I'm going to die. I don't want to die just yet." "Mr. Papandreou, get a hold of yourself. And here I heard about you being a great man, a mighty man, world-renowned. And I come here to find you crying like an old widow, like a woman." "Well, I offended him a little bit, and this is necessary at times, Father Neophyte." And then I told him, "Have courage and be of good cheer and listen to me. In 40 days, you will be out of the hospital, and in a few months, you will be addressing the Greek people of the city of Patras from a balcony. You will govern Greece again, but pay attention not to fight the church anymore. Try to help the church." Andrea responded, "Elder, if what you're telling me turns out to be true, I promise you, when I become reelected, as you say, I will come to your monastery and whatever needs you have, streets, bridges, buildings, I will renovate everything for you." Do you see the way of the politicians? Political talk, huh? Please, Mr. Kappas, please don't take this personally. As you can see, this is the political mindset, quick to promise, and of course the way of the promise. But let's listen how a man of God talks, the mindset of holiness. Listen, my Mr. Andreas, we don't have a single need at our monastery, and I will tell you why. At our monastery, we happen to have a saint. He's called Saint David. He's old but very miraculous. And I go and speak to his ear. My Saint David, we want this and this. Saint David goes and whispers this to the ear of the most holy Theotokos. Or our Panagia. Our Panagia goes and whispers this in the ear of Christ, and we play this wireless phone tag, and whatever we ask him, it's as good as done. It's done. So if you wish to come to the monastery, come as a simple pilgrim, not as a man of might and authority. He humbled him with this very polite and tactful method. All these things came true. Andreas was reelected as a prime minister, and as the historians will tell us, his position towards the church at least was much more positive. And he did go to the monastery. He kept his promise and he carried out the pilgrimage. It is amazing to see how the saints hide behind or inside history. And something else before closing, again from a historical point of view. The now ecumenical patriarch Bartholomew was the Metropolitan of Philadelphia at the time, and he visited the elder. He had heard about him, and the late ecumenical patriarch Demetrios had sent him along with a large epistle, which the elder showed me later, and I took it to Athens and had it framed for him. So Bartholomew gave him the epistle from Demetrios, which was full of admiration, by the way. Amongst other things, it said, "My beloved and famous child of the blood-stained grounds of Asia Minor, now replanted in the blessed grounds of Evia, pray for the humble throne of Apostle Andrew, for the royal city," and so on. So the elder had great love for the patriarchate and the bishops in general, and he revered the ecclesiastical authority of the hierarchy. And Bartholomew brought him this epistle and went and confessed to the elder. And the elder told him, "You will soon become the patriarch." "I doubt it, Yeranda. Not so. The Turks will never allow it. I know many languages, and I seem to be somewhat dynamic, and this does not appeal to the Turks. And they have the final say. When we elect a patriarch, they can find ways to reject it. The choice that does not appeal to them, they can reject." The elder said, "No, not this time. I will come there when the election is taking place, and I will make the Turks to bicker amongst themselves, and they will forget all about you. You must become the patriarch." After a few months, this took place. Demetrios slept in the Lord. Elections for a new patriarch took place, and the choice of the candidates were handed over to the Turkish generals, and that's who determines the course of events in Turkey, the consensus of the generals. And when they began to study the document of the patriarch, they began to argue amongst themselves for no apparent reason about totally unrelated issues, a clear temptation out of the blue. And in the middle of this heated argument, they remember that they also had to deal with the list of patriarchal candidates of the Greeks, or the Aramnios, as they call us there. The session was almost coming to an end, and someone said, "Hey, we also have to deal with the list of the Greeks. They wish to elect a patriarch." And at that point, the chief commander said, "We had enough for the day, enough with the Greeks. Let them choose anyone they wish." send the document back and tell them they are free to choose whomever they wish. And from this incident, Bartholomew was elected freely as the new patriarch. And yet, some people often ask, what do monks do? How do they benefit society? What do saints do anyway? The saints give meaning to the church. They define history, amongst other things. The Orthodox Church has as its foundation the presence of the Holy Spirit, and according to Saint Irenaeus, the great apostolic father, the church exists wherever the grace of the Holy Spirit is visible and sensible. Our contemporary saintly elders, Iacobos, Porphyrios, Evmenios, Philotheos, and so many others, prove that the Orthodox Church has preserved the authentic tradition capable to deify, to lead men to theosis, to make men God by grace. In short, this was the life of the elder Iacobos. Without ever being able to exhaust his overall presence, because the magnitude of a saint, a man of God, cannot be exhausted, he was a man who loved Cyprus and continues to love Cyprus. He used to say, it is more beneficial for me to die because now in this body I cannot come to Cyprus. But when I die, I will be coming to visit you often, my son. And glory be to God, we said enough, and please forgive us for this, for taking a lot of your time. And I pray for a fruitful, great Lent, a good struggle, and let's try to imitate the life of this blessed man of God. I don't see the need for any questions tonight. May God be with all of you. May God bless you. Love.
Yeah. Spirit.